Hello, my name's Claire and I'm a speech pathologist. Sometimes I'm called a speech therapist, but it means the same thing. I work at a hospital and part of my job is to help people talk or communicate more easily. Some of the people I work with have dementia and I teach the nurses how to talk with these people more easily too.
Hi, Claire, and welcome to Women of Hope.
Thank you.
And welcome to you too, friend. I'm Carol, and of course, my good friend Tammy is here as well.
Hi there. It's that special time again to spend with you. We're so glad you could join us. How interesting to learn how to communicate more easily with someone with dementia. I haven't had to do that myself, but one of my best friends is dealing with a mother who has dementia. And it's not only frustrating, but it's hurtful to her to have to try and figure out how to take care of her dear mother who sometimes just doesn't remember things.
Yeah.
Claire, tell us a little bit about dementia first.
Sure. Dementia is a disease that affects the brain and can cause problems such as memory loss, difficulty understanding and using language, and problems with general thinking skills. A person with dementia may also have changes in his or her personality, as well as physical difficulties such as problems swallowing or walking.
I didn't know that. So, is all dementia the same?
There are actually many types of dementia, and each type affects a person in a different way. Do you know someone, or have you met someone with dementia? Is there someone in your family with dementia? How do you feel when you're talking to them? Do they understand what you say to them?
I know with my friend, when she tries to talk to her mom, it's just so heartbreaking to know that mom doesn't realize she's her daughter.
Not all people with dementia have difficulty communicating, but if they do, there are many reasons for this. Here are some. It might be because they were distracted by something else. Or maybe you spoke too quickly for them to follow along with what you were saying. Or perhaps the way you put your words together was just too complicated or just too long. But then it might be because their memory is not good enough to remember the whole sentence you've spoken to them. Or they may have forgotten the meanings of some of the words you used.
This is good to remember. They may have been distracted by something. Maybe you spoke too quickly. Maybe the words were too complicated or too long.
And it may be that they can't remember the whole sentence, or they may have forgotten the meaning of some of the words.
That's right. But perhaps it wasn't the words you were using that were confusing, but instead the topic might have been too difficult.
Wow. There are so many things that can affect the conversation.
Yes, and it can feel very frustrating and sometimes tiring. After we listen to this music, we'll talk about a few simple ideas that might make your conversations a little easier.
It's great to be with you on Women of Hope today. We have Claire with us, and she's a speech therapist and works mostly with older people. Today, she's sharing some helpful ideas about communicating with a person with dementia.
Yes, well, firstly, let me tell you a little about Jack, a man I know who has dementia. When I first met him, he didn't seem very interested in the conversation. He just looked at me blankly a few times. He made comments that had nothing to do with what I had said. He also had trouble hearing me, so he kept asking me to repeat myself. Our whole conversation was quite frustrating. So I started making changes in the way I spoke with him, and that made a huge difference.
So what did you do?
Well, the first thing that I do now before talking with Jack is to turn off the radio. He really loves listening to the radio, but he just can't concentrate on listening to the songs and me at the same time. And because he's a bit deaf, he couldn't hear me very well over the music. He also gets distracted if there's other noise coming from outside, or even when there's a newspaper sitting on his table. So I try to remove some of these things that distract him before I start to talk to him. And now I close the door or move the newspaper off the table. The next thing I find helpful is to make sure he's looking at me. That way I know he's listening to me. Sometimes I gently tap him on the arm or even say his name to get his attention, and then once he's looking at me, I start talking. And I love to start the conversation with a smile. He sometimes smiles back.
That sounds good. So you really get his attention before you start having a conversation with him.
I do. And then while we're talking, I don't talk too quickly or make lots of different comments quickly. That way, Jack seems to find it easier to keep up with the conversation. I make my sentences quite short and simple. And I just say one point at a time. For example, if I'm telling him what I did on the weekend, I don't tell him all of the things I did in just a few sentences. I would say the first thing I did in one sentence and then stop. He has time to think about what I just said and maybe even make a comment himself. Then I move on to the next point and wait to see if he has something to say about that. After all, conversation is much nicer if both people have a chance to talk, not just me.
I think sometimes we think we have to keep the conversation going. We're afraid to stop and leave some space.
And it's especially important to leave some space for a person with dementia because they need time to think. Although saying one point at a time does take longer, it means that Jack can take part in the conversation. And it's much more enjoyable for the both of us. Just because he has difficulty keeping up with conversation does not mean that he doesn't like chatting. Jack loves a good chat, and because he's older than me, he has lots of stories to share about his life. Jack follows the conversation better if the topic is something he knows about. If it's about someone he knows or an event that he took part in, if I start talking about an activity I did that he's not heard of before, and with friends he doesn't know, he gets confused and can't follow along. So we talk a lot about the things that he knows, things that are about him, such as what he did on the weekend. We might talk about any other visitors he has coming, or he might tell me some stories from his past. People with dementia often find it easier to remember things from the past before they got dementia.
Yes, I've noticed that too. So let's remember those things that make the conversation easier. Make sure there's not anything that will distract the person. Smile and get their attention before you start talking. And don't speak too quickly.
Give the person time to think about what you've just said. And time to answer you if they really want to, or respond to what you've said. And talk about things that they know about and can relate to, especially something they did.
And don't be afraid to ask questions about what they've done. Give them a chance to tell their stories about their past. Jack's memory isn't very good, and he seems to forget important details that I tell him. He can always remember his birthday, though, and his address from 20 years ago. It's the new information that he finds hard to remember. Details that don't change, like his birthday or memories of things before he got dementia, are often the last things to be forgotten. At the end of our conversation, I always tell him when I'm going to visit again. I might say something like, "Jack, it was great to see you. Thanks for telling me the story about your pets. I'd like to hear more about that next time. By the way, I'm going to come back next Wednesday. I'll come at lunchtime around 12, if that's all right, and we can eat lunch together." These couple of sentences have a lot of information, but the day and the time are the most important parts. So I usually repeat this in a short, simple sentence like, "I'll be back next Wednesday at 12 o'clock. He may not even remember this, but he just might.
It's been interesting hearing about how to talk more easily with a person who has dementia. But what about talking with someone who's had a stroke? That might be hard too.
It is, but that can be easier too if you know what to do.
Could you tell us about that another time?
I would love to, but I want to share some thoughts with you today about talking with someone else, someone I really like talking to. The other person I like to talk with is God. Sometimes talking with God is called praying. Have you ever tried praying or talking with God? Perhaps you feel anxious about talking with God because you're not sure what to say or how to say it. Or you might be worried that God might not listen to you. Do you ever feel like that? When I'm talking with Jack, I have to be careful how I say things, adjusting what I say to him to help him understand. There are also some topics that I just don't talk about with him because they're too complicated. But with God, it's different. I don't need to use fancy words, and no topic is too big or too small to talk with God about. I just tell God how I'm feeling and what's on my mind. I can tell him my worries and my thoughts and my ideas. Thankfully, I don't need to change the way I speak for God to hear me or understand me. And of course, he can understand what we say no matter what language we speak. I can talk to God aloud or even silently because God can hear my silent prayers. And rather than thinking that I'm just talking to God, I'm actually talking with God because he might have something to say back to me. It's a two-way conversation, like when I'm talking with Jack. Jack talks while I listen, then I talk while Jack listens. In the same way, isn't it great to know that when we talk with God, he hears us and he talks to us, especially through his word, the Bible. There's a great example of this two-way conversation near the beginning of the Bible. It's a story about a man named Moses. You may have heard people on Women of Hope talk before about this man Moses. God gave him directions about how to lead God's people, the Israelites, out of slavery in Egypt. What a huge responsibility! But because conversation with God goes both ways, Moses often told God how he was feeling. He talked with God about his worries and concerns, and even how he felt like he wasn't the right man for the job. The first time God spoke to Moses was pretty amazing. We can read the story in Exodus chapter 3. Roz, would you read that for us?
Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, "I'll go over and see this strange sight, why the bush doesn't burn up." When the Lord saw that he'd gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, "Moses, Moses." And Moses said, "Here I am." "Do not come any closer," God said. "Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground." Then he said, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. The Lord said, "I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I've come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey.
Moses was puzzled by this strange sight. Seeing the bush in flames but not burning up? I would be too, wouldn't you? Mm-hmm. So he went in closer to have a look. What an amazing introduction to God for Moses. Imagine how surprised Moses was when he heard God calling his name from inside that bush. And Moses answered God. "Here I am," he said. And do you remember what God said to him then? That's right. He told him not to come any closer and to take off his sandals because he was now standing on holy ground.
And then God introduced himself to Moses. He said, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." Moses knew that God was to be respected. I'm sure he took off his sandals straight away, but we're also told that he turned his face away because he was afraid to look at God. What an amazing introduction to God for Moses.
Yes, this story tells us how God heard the crying of the Israelites who were suffering in slavery. God hears our prayers just like he heard the Israelites. God is so loving and compassionate. I love how this story shows that God knows us personally. He knows our name, just like he called out to Moses using his name. God knows your name and wants to speak with you. Yes, you! Yes, God knows my name and he knows your name. And he knows who you are. He knows all about you and he wants to talk with you. So how can we really hear God speak to us? I've never heard a voice beaming out of a burning bush like Moses. But the good news is that we have God's own word, the Bible, to read. This is the main way God speaks to us. Have you ever read any parts of the Bible? The amazing thing about the Bible is that it was written by God, but God used people to actually write it down. He put into their hearts and minds what he wanted them to write. That's why we love to share stories from the Bible with you each time we meet together. The Bible is full of stories about real people who talked with God. It tells us about God's Son, Jesus, too. The Bible helps me understand more about who God is and what he's like. The more I read of the Bible, the more I feel like I know God and how he wants me to live my life. It gives me advice on how to relate to other people. It even gives me advice on how to raise my little daughter. The Bible is also full of promises that God has made to us. My favorite promise is that by believing in Jesus and that he died and rose again to take away my sins, I will go to heaven when I die, to be with God forever. What a promise! It gives me hope, even when I'm feeling down. God never breaks his promises. Some parts of the Bible may seem confusing and hard to understand, so I often read the Bible with other people who understand it better than me. They explain the parts that I don't understand, and we discuss what the Bible says about how God wants us to live. You might be able to do the same. Read it with someone else, or in a group, and talk together about what it means. Do you know someone who could help you read and understand the Bible better? You can contact us if you would like some help with reading the Bible. We will tell you how to contact us shortly.
We've come to the end of our time together today. Remember that God wants to talk with you. We don't need to be afraid of talking with God, but He does want us to talk with Him in humility, which means to recognize who God is and that He knows best. He knows you, remember, and He loves you. He wants you to share how you're really feeling and what you really need. He's promised in His Word, the Bible, that He will hear you.
Thank you, Claire, for helping us to know how to talk more easily with a person with dementia and how God wants to talk with us, too.
You're welcome. I'll come back again soon. Meanwhile, enjoy talking with God.
And remember, you can talk with us, too. You can contact us at this station
or at TWR Women of Hope. The email address is twrwomenofhope@twr.org. That's twrwomenofhope@twr.org. Or if you've missed a program or you want to hear it again, visit our website, twrwomenofhope.org, or visit our Facebook page.
Remember, God wants you to talk with Him. We do hope that you'll be with us again. Have a great week filled with God's blessings.